This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, good morning everybody. Welcome back to this radio show called Eudaimonia. You know, I'm here every Monday trying to help you with your lifestyle, trying to improve your health a little bit. And I was super, super happy today that eventually we saw the sun, so there is no excuses to go for a walk today, even though it's a bit chilly, it's a bit cold. I think it's the moment to start moving. We have had a couple of weeks, really wet weeks, in which I didn't feel like going out. My poor dog was so sad because we really didn't go out. But now is the moment. So, you know, that part of the process of being healthier or feeling healthier is to be active, to move your muscles, to build your muscles in order to get more energy and feel a bit better. So today's gonna be a bit different, today's topic, because you know that we normally talk about one specific pillar or one specific topic. So today is gonna be a combination of all of them. So remember that we have six pillars in when we talk about lifestyle medicine. One is nutrition, the other one is exercise, anxiety or stress, how we sleep, social connections, and toxics or pollutions. So today I want to share with you something a bit different, which is a real patient I saw in my practice, and how we go, how as a lifestyle doctor, how we move through all of these pillars. And sometimes we mix them together. Sometimes we go just one by one to see which part needs to be or needs more attention and how we should start, no, helping this person. So I'm gonna invite you to go with me to this consultation room. And again, today is going to be a bit different, because sometimes it's difficult to understand how to change something in our lives when everything seems to be quite complicated. And after this hour, probably you will understand that it's just a process. It's just go step by step. And I will tell you more or less how to start. And sometimes we feel unwell and we don't really recognize, or we can tell why we feel so unwell, and it's because normally it's not just one thing. Or sometimes it's because we are looking for answers in the wrong place. We are looking for something we can take to improve the symptoms instead of going to the main problem, instead of going to the beginning of the problem, not just to treat the symptom. Treating the symptom is obviously easier, is what we normally doctors do, based on this Western medicine, that we normally treat symptoms. But if you really want to improve your lifestyle and to treat the problem or to go deeper and see what's going on, you need something more like this, more like an holistic approach, something more like a lifestyle medicine doctor, basically. So this is, if you are watching this on video, this is how we feel, how doctors feel after working every day. It's just so exhausting because most of our patients need answers, obviously, but they want something fast, and they want the answer now, and the diagnosis now, and the treatment now, and the effect of the treatment now. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes longer. And when you have a problem and you have seen different doctors or health professionals, and you don't really feel that nobody is not looking well for the problem, maybe it's that they are not, they don't find anything wrong, no? And when you get blood done or CT scans or MRIs or whatever you want, And the answer is always the same. Everything looks normal. Even for us, even for the professional, is quite heartbreaking, honestly, because we really want to help people and we really want to find the answers. So even for us, I know that for you probably it's a pain just going to the doctor and that the answer is no, everything is okay. So nothing to do. But this is why when you study a little bit more or when you like looking for the problem more than for the symptoms or the consequences is this lifestyle thing important. Is why this lifestyle thing is important. So if you go to the doctor and everything looks normal and the answer is like this, but you don't feel normal. It's like you don't have energy. Your digestion is not right. You don't sleep well. You have gained weight. Your brain is always foggy. You have pain everywhere. You feel stressed, maybe older than your age. So probably the question is not, can you please, doctor, give me a diagnosis? Could you tell me what's wrong with you? So probably the question is what has happened, not to this person, to this patient's life, that the body is reacting like this, is reacting with no energy, with bad digestion, with gaining weight, with foggy brain. So what happened? What happened a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years ago? What happened that the body felt that it has to react like this, with these symptoms that, yeah, we can treat these symptoms, but we can treat them for a while, and then if we don't treat the problem, the problem will be there forever. So I'm gonna invite you to meet Sarah today. This is one of our patients, and she is 45, working at a school as a principal, so quite demanding job, normally a stressful job. She has two teenage children. Permanently stressed because the combination of problems at school, problems at home, with two children. When we checked her blood test, she was on the pre-diabetes range and the blood pressure started to go higher. And the thyroid, I put it in between brackets, it was normal, but I'm expecting that the next thing to be abnormal is going to be the thyroid, because everything is combined. I mean, everything stems from the same problem. It's what we have called, or we have talked about this before, but this is the classic metabolic syndrome, the start of something more like this, that is high blood pressure, high sugar, and the thyroid is start to play up. And we don't have the weight here, but she's gaining weight as well. And probably what we'll see in the future is high cholesterol as well. Okay. So this is the typical metabolic syndrome. That is not something that appears in one day. It's a process. It's a long, long process that probably started years and years ago. And now the body's just yelling that I need help. So these are just the symptoms of something more important. She's always tired, even though she sleeps about 7 hours a day. The abdomen feels bloating. She has gained weight. Sometimes we blame the menopause when a woman gains weight. So she has gained about 12 kilos. Poor sleep, brain fog, anxiety, all the typicals. And this is very, very common. Something that we hear almost every day is, I don't feel like myself anymore. It's like this body doesn't belong to me. I used to be active. I used to be super, super healthy and sporty. And now I can't do anything. It's that I don't have energy. And if I go for a walk, everything is painful. So we're going to go with the first pillar that we call nutrition. And it's not just to ask, do you eat healthy? Because I can promise you that most of our patients are going to say, yes, I eat healthy. So if you only ask, do you eat healthy? Yes, yes, of course. I eat a lot of green stuff and I don't eat a lot of fatty food, or I don't really eat takeaways. So for me, the question is not just, do you eat healthy? It's more, what do you eat? So let's go. Let's gonna do a list of things that you eat. When, in which moment, why, with whom, how fast, how hungry are you when you eat, how stressed are you while eating? Because you know now, after all these programs we have shared together, that is not the same eating relaxed, like consciously eating, that eating with listening to the news or reading newspapers or just scrolling up and down social media. So it has nothing to do. The body doesn't feel the same. It's like you need to feel safe. You need to feel relaxed before eating. Otherwise, doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense for a body to get food when we feel that we are in danger, that we feel that we are stressed. So timing is important, and timing and insulin, because eating during the day is better than eating at night, because the body is more sensitive to insulin during the day and less sensitive, is more resistant to insulin at night. But again, it's not just day and night. So the body is meant to be more active during the day and less active at night. So this is why we need more food during the day and less at night. But it's also important when we wake up how we feel. If we feel hungry as soon as we wake up, we need to check what's happened the night before. If we don't feel hungry, but we force ourselves to eat something because it's a typical thing, no, that you need to get breakfast because you go out, it's a different thing as well. So what I normally say to my patients is, well, we're going to start respect your body. If your body says, I'm not hungry in the morning, and you are hungry like 1 hour or 2 hours later, just respect this. Obviously, it depends on your job. If you don't have time to stop, it's complex. But start respecting your feelings. So, I'm not hungry. Okay. Just wait. No, I'm never hungry. I'm not hungry for breakfast. I'm not hungry for lunch. I'm not hungry for dinner. This is a different problem that we will discuss later. But try to respect. And in general, generally speaking, and this is not for everybody, but generally speaking, eat more during the day and less during the night. And of course, what you eat is important. It's not the same healthy food, whole meals, that ultra-processed food. It's not the same cereals with a bit of milk, that sourdough bread with eggs, with avocado, with tomatoes, with chicken, with fish, with tofu, with whatever you like. So ultra-processed food is another like red flag there. Again, it's not the same if you are basing your meals on carbohydrates or you put protein and fat. If the problem is that you never feel full, we will need to probably increase the protein intake or even the fat intake if it's a healthy fat. Otherwise, you're not gonna feel full. It's easier to feel full with proteins and fat. It's more difficult to feel stuffed with just carbohydrates. And this is a natural mechanism. We can't go today, but someday we will discuss it. This is just a natural mechanism. It is easier for the body to eat a packet of chippies than a block of butter. Easier, okay? And this is natural. And obviously, it is important as well with whom you are eating and the environment. It's not the same that if you have the option, if you go out and with a sunny day and you eat in a place like in a green area with no noise, just feeling what you are eating, just being conscious, that if you are in your job place with the computer or in between meetings, for example. So we move to the second pillar. Second pillar is the exercise. So first one is nutrition, second one is exercise. So I asked Sarah, our patient, if she was active, no? I asked Sarah, do you do exercise every day? How is your physical activity? And yes, she goes to the gym twice a week, 1 hour. So, and then, which is great, okay, this is great. It's better than nothing, obviously. And walking as well is better than nothing. So it's perfect twice a week. But then she sits 10 hours. So it's like 10 hours seated in the same place, just 1 hour at the gym. And we know that humans are meant to be active. So our body is we have all these muscles and strong bones and all this physical shape because we should be active, not to be in the same place all the time. So 1 hour in the gym doesn't not cancel 10 hours in a chair. Because the muscle is not just something we used to move, it's also an endocrine organ. So it releases a lot of hormones. It's not just something we use to move, basically. It's also something, it's like endocrine, it's something more important. So if you don't move, the muscle doesn't release something that is going to help with inflammation. And if we don't move, the insulin doesn't work as well as if we move, if we are more active. So we will develop what we call insulin resistant. That if you have been listening to this show for the last month or two, you know that insulin resistant is the start, is the part of, is like the second step towards metabolic syndrome and diabetes. So the question is not if you do exercise when you see your doctor. The question is how many hours are you in the same position? How many hours do you spend seated? Because this is more important than how often do you go to the gym. If you go 1 hour, 2 hours a week, and the rest of the week you don't do anything, probably something that we need to improve. And just to remind you a couple of concepts, exercise is not the same of being active. Unfortunately for us. So being active is just walking, gardening, doing the things that we do during the day, cleaning the house, taking care of the children, walking the dog. This is just being active. Exercise is that you spend 1 hour or 2 hours structured in a place that you are just doing this exercise. And there are plenty of types of exercise that we can talk one day. And then it's also important what we call the NEAT. The NEAT is this non-exercise. It's just being active. It's what I was telling you before. The walking, the moving at home, there's just cleaning your house, things like this. And why we need to do exercise and be active? Because the only way we get to, or we have to get, energy is through something called mitochondria. And we get more mitochondria and more and healthier mitochondria if we are more active and if we build muscle. Because mitochondria are inside the cells. If the muscle is tiny, there are not a lot of cells. If your muscle is huge, you're going to have a lot of cells there, and a lot of cells means a lot of mitochondria and probably healthier mitochondria. So we don't really want to do exercise because we need to get fit for the summer. It's because it's the only way we have to survive. And another tip, if it's possible, is just post-meal walkings. So 10 minutes walk after eating, it helps, again, to put the glucose, the sugar inside the muscle and it doesn't remain high for that long. So post-meal walking, interesting thing. Mitochondria, you need to build your muscles to get more mitochondria. Doing exercise is more like a structure training. And the need means basically moving. So let's go, let's move to the third pillar. The third pillar is sleep and resting. And again, is not the same resting than sleeping. So common question is, do you sleep well? I would say most of the answers are yes, I sleep well. Yeah. And do you feel rested when you wake up? Which is my second question. And the answer is normally, no, I don't feel rested. I'm super tired. So sometimes we think that sleeping or spending time in bed is the same as resting. And unfortunately, it's not the same. You can spend 12 hours in the bed and waking up and feeling really, really tired, and the body is basically painful. So it's not the same. So we don't measure how we sleep in hours. It's more on how the body feels. Restoration. So again, it's super important that our brain knows when it's day and when it's night. And again, apart from the food, more food during the day, less food at night, is light during the day, if it's natural light, even better, and darkness at night. Because during the day, we want light to get cortisol. This cortisol is going to help us to be active, adrenaline, cortisol. And what we really want at night is just melatonin, no cortisol, not a lot of adrenaline. Otherwise, we want to sleep. So we want light in the morning, darkness at night. Temperature is important. About 18, 20, 20 degrees probably would be perfect. More if you are a child or an older person, probably less if you are like an adult or teenager. We should avoid blue light about 90 minutes before going to bed. Blue light is basically screens like phones or computers. With TV is similar, but it's not that bad. But phones and computers are probably the worst. They are becoming a problem nowadays because apparently everybody does. So we need just to check the phone 5-10 minutes sleeping, probably because we don't really want to miss anything important. If the last thing you do is checking your phone, the first thing you do is checking your phone again, yeah, probably we have an issue there. And the other problem is alcohol. It's true that a lot of people feel that they sleep better when they drink something. It's like you fall asleep easier, which is true. But the quality of the sleep is horrible. So it's significantly worse than if you don't drink any alcohol. We talk about alcohol one day, and if I'm not wrong, just a glass of wine or one or two glasses of wine, it reduces about 40-something% the quality of your sleep. So it's a lot. It's a lot. And I'm not asking you not to drink. It's just you need to know that this is going to affect the way you sleep. So probably not for everyday thing. The same as with any drug, not a lot of patients who normally smoke marijuana thinking that they are going to sleep better. And again, it's true. They fall asleep easier, but the quality of the sleep is horrible. So they can spend hours sleeping, but they don't rest. So same similar with alcohol. Let's move to the fourth pillar. Four pillars is the stress. So who is not stressed nowadays? Super difficult. Because our life now apparently needs to be super fast. So everything is fast. Fast food, fast answers, fast everything. So our body, our genes, is not ready for this. So they think that we can deal with acute stressful situations. It means acute is something is chasing me, I need to run, or there is something that is life-threatening, so I'm going to move, no? I'm going to active my body. So the mechanisms we have are for this, not for the mother, long or chronic stressful situations. And the body doesn't know how to distinguish between what is basically making us feeling in danger. So not sleeping well is going to make us feel more stressed. Eating unhealthy food again, it's going to make us feel stress, loneliness, that we will talk a bit later, financial problems, relationship conflicts, constant phone notifications. So just a tip I'm going to give you today. Try to keep your notifications off if you can. Just allow a couple of hours, like 1 hour in the morning, one hour in the afternoon, just to read all these notifications. Otherwise, the brain feels that something is going to happen all the time. And if you have your notifications active for everything you have in your phone, it's just probably every minute or every 2 minutes getting something. So what happens when we are stressed is that we have something called cortisol that is going to go higher, natural. This is a normal mechanism. It's just going to go high. But as soon as the problem disappears, the cortisol goes down. This is what happens in an acute stressful situation. But when we are living in a stressful world, this cortisol remains high because during the day we feel stressed or constantly stressed. So we enter in a mode that we call fight or flight, that when we are in this mode, it's impossible to eat, it's impossible to rest, it's impossible to digest, it's impossible to repair anything. Because again, we are in survival mode. So we need to reconnect with the parasympathetic. And the parasympathetic is basically one nerve called the vagus nerve. We talked about this a few months ago. So we need to stimulate the parasympathetic to reset the digestive organs, to reset and to decrease the inflammation systems, everything. So whoever tells you that is stress, just ask how their guts are. Because if you are stressed, unless it's an acute stressful situation, if it's a chronic stress, eventually your guts are going to start feeling unwell. And could be constipation, could be diarrhea, just feeling this bloatiness. But I'm 100% convinced that every time we have a problem that keeps our mind busy, the guts are also feeling the stressful situation. It's because this huge connection between the gut and the brain. And basically this connection is because of this important nerve that is the vagus nerve. So the important goal here is not treating the symptom, is not taking pills to sleep better, like sleeping pills or pills to manage the stress. You can do this for a short period of time, of course, if you feel really unwell. But the goal is to become capable of recovering from stress. Just go farther and ask, why I'm so stressed? Is my job? Is my life, is my economy, is because I have a lot of things to do and I don't have time. So this is more important than just taking a pill. Obviously, it takes more time. It takes longer. But the benefit is also, is a long-term benefit. Okay, so let's move with the pillar 5 and 6. We're going to combine both, which is probably the ones that we don't normally ask too much about when you see your doctor or your health professional. This is a question that we don't normally ask because we feel that we don't want to ask too much about family and relationships. When you can't imagine how important this is and how many times after spending weeks or months treating somebody and you ask the right question and you ask about family or friends or something that happened when the patient was younger, and then you get the answer. Probably you have been treating a sleeping issue with the sleeping tablets for 6 months And then you realize that what's going on is that this person is feels alone. It's just the loneliness. And every time it's night, there's a kind of fear of being alone, which is natural, and this is why we live in community. This feeling of being alone is what is not allowing the person to sleep. So it's not that she or he has a problem. It's not like a chronic insomnia. It's just a feeling. So we need to treat the feeling. We don't need to treat the symptom. Okay? So again, you will be surprised how many patients, when we ask about friends or problems with in the marriage, or a lot of people, they don't have purpose. And I see this every day, even for adults, the thing, adults who have been working in the same place for years and years and years, and suddenly they feel that their life doesn't have any sense or doesn't have sense anymore. It's just, I don't really know. I mean, I wake up, I go, I work 10 hours, 8 hours, and I go home. So every day seems to be more or less the same because there is not a purpose. And obviously, not everybody can choose their job, but we spend a lot of time working. So working should be something that we like, at least most of the times, and that make us feel fulfilled, because otherwise it's not gonna work. Okay, so working should be part of your purpose in life. Okay. And yeah, sometimes it's not that easy. And if working is not your purpose because it's something that you just do for money, the rest of the day you need to focus on something that makes you feel happy and makes you feel that you are doing something for yourself. Okay. It's a very complex topic. And what we see, unfortunately, in the young generations is that they don't really have purpose. And probably it's part of our, we are guilty probably, because how difficult is to find a job? How difficult is to buy a house? How difficult is to eat healthy? How difficult is everything for a teenager or for a young adult? That they sometimes, I think they feel that what's the point of fighting if there is nothing in the other part? No, or at the end, if I'm working, I cannot buy a house. If I'm working long hours and I can't eat well, I need to find, I need to look for another job. Or if I'm working, I don't even have time to spend time with my, I don't have time to spend with my family. Or I'm earning money, but not enough to give my family what they need. So I understand that these generations don't have any purpose and probably no motivation in life. And this is a problem as a society. Because again, we're living together. And what happened to my neighbor, it might affect me at the end of the day. Even though I feel that, no, I don't really know them. But in some way, when a neighborhood is sad because they don't really get what they want, and then a city is sad, you can feel it. You go, you walk on the streets and you can feel this sadness. No, it's everywhere. Whereas if everybody has a goal, a purpose, they enjoy what they do, again, you feel it. You feel this energy and you get like contagious of this positivity. Okay? So really difficult topic and we can spend hours. But think about this. Think about a purpose. And a purpose doesn't mean that you need to change the world. It's not, again, it's not, I'm gonna, I don't know. You don't have to save the city, ni the world, ni nothing like this. So something probably small, something that you really like doing and you feel that you're good at, just go for this. Could be painting, could be learning how to play an instrument, could be just helping people in the way you can. So be part of a charity group, or just my purpose is walking every day, walking the dog every day, or spend more time with my family, something like this. And then you have a purpose, and then you change your purpose. It's not a static. It's not rigid. You change it, you modify things, and you make it better. But anyway, coming back to relationships and belongings. So you can't imagine how many people feel alone. And community, living together, releases things. Again, releases hormones. When we touch somebody, when we have a conversation, when we share meals, when we are in a place that we feel part of this group, of this community. So all this cortisol that we get when we are in danger, it reduces it goes down when we have this social connection. So when we share meals, when we have conversation, this is going to reduce cortisol a lot. And it's going to lower the blood pressure. And it's going to support your immune system. So it's a win-win. So all these blue zones that were quite famous years ago, basically what they do is they share daily meals. And they share deep social bonds. It's not they are not strangers between them. Family meals improve quality and emotional regulation. Obviously, you have a bad relationship with your family. It's going to be difficult to have a pleasure meal. Yeah. But if it's not your family, if it's not your close family, it could be a group of friends. And we know that loneliness carries mortality risk comparable to smoking. There is a recent study comparing smoking and feeling alone. And the risk of mortality is very similar, very similar. So we know more or less that smoking reduces lifespan for about 20%, and it's more or less the same when we feel alone. If you see, well, most of these people who live more than 100 years, I think they are from same type of countries in which family relationship and these social bonds are really, really important. So the question sometimes is, when was the last time you had a meal without looking your phone, which means that you were with people? I'm not asking you to force conversations or to force to be with somebody when you don't feel comfortable with them, but try to find your group and try to do more things with them. Which I find really useless is going out with friends or with family and that everybody is looking the phone. Even though we are together, everybody's checking the phone and maybe sharing things through the phone instead of having a normal conversation. Again, this is anti-natural. This is non-natural. And even though you don't feel anything at that moment, I can promise you that your body feels that you are not getting this benefit from being together, with a group. And the other part of the problem is the environment, no? The environment. Because a lot of people think that toxins are just like chemical products, no? Like alcohol, like smoking or pollution or something like this. But it's more important, or the group is wider than this. It's alcohol, it's the ultra-processed food, it's the chemical products they put in our food. It's noise, it's artificial light, it's, well, negative information, which means that you are with somebody that is always negative, always complaining, things like that. Or if we are in a place that we don't really move, there's another toxin, or poor air quality. So don't think as toxics only tobacco, alcohol, drugs. It's probably more important than just this. And here in New Zealand, there is something that I really enjoy, is that when it's night, it's dark. You don't have a lot of lights on the street, yeah, which is difficult for the part of socializing, but it's really good for the part of this environment. So the pillar number five, the social connection, it's a bit complex in winter, probably in New Zealand. It's better in summer, obviously, but the environment, the noise, the pollution, the artificial lights, much, much better than in other countries because it's calmer. You go out after six now in winter and nobody's on the street. It's super calm. It's fresh. It's relaxing, if you like. So I'm going to ask you to go to your kitchen, if you want, and check again how many of these products, ultra-processed food, you have at home, which is, again, part of the toxics. And how is design your space, your house, if it's more designed to share things with your family, or is more designed to be more in separated places? If it's a dining room, kitchen that invites people to go there and share the moment, to share conversations while somebody's cooking, or it's more now, when I'm cooking, I'm just alone here, the other person or the rest of the family is in a different places, and then we gather together just to eat 20 minutes and everybody goes to their place again. So just check how your life, how your house is organized. And just to finish, just this last slide to remind you that even though sometimes we talk about six pillars and they are separated, I wouldn't say that we talk about six pillars. It's more that when a patient comes to our clinic, they are worried about just one thing normally, which is normally just one of the pillars. I don't have energy, or I don't sleep well, or I have physical issues, so I don't do exercise. So they are very just focused on something because they are asking for an answer and a fast way to heal this. As a doctor, what we normally do is to go through all of them. And if we have time and you have the knowledge, even better, obviously. But if somebody don't sleep or somebody doesn't sleep, apart from asking about how do you sleep, what's going on, what happened, I normally ask how active you are, do you eat well, are you eating a lot at night, and this is probably the reason why you don't sleep, are you drinking alcohol, how is your relationship, do you feel safe when you go to bed, do you feel unsafe, are you alone? So it's just more complex than just one thing. And everything is connected. And you can start in whatever point you want, that all of them will be affected. If you don't eat well, you won't be able to move, probably not sleeping well, problems with the stress, with the relationships, and everything. So if you are stressed and you feel tired, what's the point of taking care of your house, for example? What's the goal, again? What's the purpose? If you don't have you don't have friends, you don't have a lot of family, your relationships are not probably the best, again, what's the point of taking care of your house? And if you don't take care of your house, probably you say, what's the point of eating well? And what's the point of doing exercise? So everything gets more complex. And when we go or when we finish with this conversation on what's the point of doing this, what's the point of doing that, is probably because we need help. So how to start? This is probably one of the 1 million questions. How to start with this when the problem is huge? No, normally my answer is go with the easiest one. You know, if you know the six pillars, all of them, just go with the easiest one for you. If for you it's easier to eat better, just go with this. And then you will see that all of them get the benefit as well. it's easier for you to start walking or doing exercise, just go with this. If it's, no, I'm gonna start building my relationship with my family again, just go with this. Probably for me, under, from my point of view, with all these years working, the most difficult one might be sleep. How to improve the way we sleep. Because again, there are so many factors now in our society impacting the way we sleep that is very, very difficult. Okay? It's complicated, but not impossible. So if sleeping is your issue and it's too huge, let's gonna start with exercise. If you feel like exercise is something that you like, let's gonna go with exercise. Because doing exercise, your muscles are gonna release so many things that you're gonna feel tired at night and you're gonna need to rest. And then you will sleep better. Or let's gonna eat better. Less alcohol, less ultra processed food, at least at night. Let's gonna start just with the night and see how you sleep. So start a small motivation, so build the momentum, which means that you're gonna create new habits. So this is gonna start moving. It's like a wheel, like the snowball, no? It's gonna start with a small ball, but it's gonna start growing and growing and growing and moving faster and faster and faster. And one is moving faster, it's so difficult to stop. So, but just take advantage of this momentum. Okay. And you will feel that as soon as you start changing things in life, you're gonna change a little bit. Your identity is gonna change again. Probably for your friends or for your family, it's gonna be strange. Yeah, suddenly you are this weirdo that doesn't eat this or doesn't do that. So, like the healthy friend. But yeah, you need to deal with this. Your body's gonna be so pleased, it's gonna thank you. So, and eventually you will transform your health. This is not a one day thing, again. And as everybody, as always, I'm gonna tell you that we are not looking for perfection. We don't need to go from 0 to 100. We can go with 0 from 10, a couple of months, and then to 20, couple of months, and then to 30, a couple of months. So it's something that you start building as a long purpose in your life. So if you need 2 or 3 years to change things and all these pillars, you need 2 or 3 years, it's okay. I'm going to ask you to challenge yourself a little bit, but don't try to go too fast because it's going to be tiring. You're going to feel that everything is changing and you might feel overwhelmed. So just go slow. Okay, I'm going to start walking. So this week, I'm going to start walking. So I'm going to do this 10,000 steps a day. And this is going to be a must. And then in a couple of weeks or just not walking. I'm going to go to the gym. Okay, you go to the gym. And then once a week. Don't go 5 times a week, just once a week, and slowly, slowly. And as I'm feeling better, I think I'm going to start eating better, okay? So I'm going to start eating better at night, perfect. So you move, and you get this motivation because you start feeling better. So you get this motivation, this is the momentum, and this snowball rolling. So don't feel that you have to do it in one day, because this is impossible and it's not going to work. Imagine that you have been doing the same for 20, 30 years, so now you can change your lifestyle in one day. It's a long process, but it takes time, but you will get all the benefits. So again, long, long, long talk here. I hope you find it more or less useful. I wanted to show you something a bit different today, because it's not the typical topic, you know, talking about cholesterol or diabetes. It's more, probably more natural, that you feel that, yeah, I'm not like this person, but we share more or less symptoms, like tiredness, gaining weight, or my blood test is starting to be like this, pre-diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, thyroid issues. So you know that now that something is not going right and it's the moment to change. And the way to change it is just going slowly. And you choose the one, you choose how to start and just continue. Okay. So we'll see you next week with something probably different again. I'm gonna just put you a couple of songs to complete this hours we shared together. And feel free to ask your doctor or to nurse practitioner about this, because sometimes they know more than you think. And they are more than happy to help you if this is part of your goal, no, feeling healthier. So don't feel that there's nothing to do. Don't feel that if all your tests are normal, that every time you go to the doctor say everything is normal. Don't feel that you are a strange case. No, you are a common case, and obviously there are things that we can do. Probably not the ones you want, maybe not the pill you want. It's more like a long process, but obviously there are things to do. Okay. So enjoy the Monday and the rest of the week. Try to be active, try to eat healthy and rest, and we'll see you next week.
All we need is candlelight, you and me, and a bottle of wine to hold you tonight. Well, we know I'm going away, and how I wish it were so. So take this wine and drink with me. Let's delay our misery. Say tonight. Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone, say tonight. Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. There's a log on the fire, and it burns like me for you. Tomorrow comes with one desire, to take me away from the truth. It ain't easy to say goodbye. Darling, please don't start to cry. Girl, you know I've got to go. Oh, Lord, I wish it wasn't so. Say tonight. And fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. Say tonight. And fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. Tomorrow comes to take me away. I wish that I could stay. Girl, you know I got to go. I wish it wasn't so. Say tonight. Fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. Say tonight. Fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. Say tonight. Fight the break of dawn. Come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. Say tonight. Fight the break of dawn.